KHUM is freeform independent radio from Humboldt County, California. Learn more at khum.com.
Happy trails to you.
Ah, yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for another edition of Happy Trails as we keep our eyes on the prize, a regional trail system all throughout Humboldt County. Today, it's just me and Emily. We're talking about things that are happening around here, progress, things to come, that sort of thing. Good morning, Emily.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming on this morning. It's a little rainy this morning, but a very, very nice morning indeed.
Yeah, very nice. It kind of feels like a wintry morning, almost.
Yeah, very nice, though. Yeah. We'll call this a spring shower.
Yeah.
There we go. So, I know you got a bit of a cold, but I think we're safe with the microphones in between us.
Oh, yes, at least we're on the radio, not spreading.
Not spreading any the germs. Illness. That is right. Alrighty, so I guess let's get right to it. What's going on?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of news from kind of the state level around walking and biking. Really, the most exciting is that the Active Transportation Program, the funding for pretty much kind of all walking, biking, trails opportunities in the state, has opened their second cycle of a call for projects. So a lot of local jurisdictions and really across the state will be kind of competing for this relatively large, you know, pot of funds in the next 2 months.
So what projects are we throwing the hat in the ring for?
Yeah, well, there will be, I think a lot of the jurisdictions are figuring out what to move forward. Next week, we are going to be talking about a potential project with the county and Caltrans in Manila, with potentially a trail project in Manila or some other improvements for walking and biking.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be next week. And there's a lot of jurisdictions that are wanting to look at safe routes to school projects. So we'll be talking about some of those later. And the city of Fortuna, we've talked about their John Campbell Memorial Parkway trail project that really would kind of connect the middle of Fortuna over to the west side, over to the Eel River. And they'll probably be putting in for an ATP project. So really across kind of the whole county, there's a lot of strong projects. So that'll
Fantastic.
Be coming in the next 2 weeks. But there are a lot of kind of legislation at the state level that really has been quite interesting. So one is a proposed bill that would require helmet use and reflective gear for all cyclists, regardless of age. And you know, at the surface, you know, I myself always make sure to wear a helmet. You know,
sure.
For a lot of bicycle education classes, we really talk about the benefits of wearing helmets.
Yeah, I think this is a great idea because I can't tell you how many times I see parents out with their kids, all wearing their helmets, the parents not. It just surprises me. It's such a mixed message to be sending.
Yeah, it definitely is a mixed message. And, you know, really what's interesting about this is the California Bicycle Coalition has been looking into the research from other countries and jurisdictions that have passed a mandated helmet law. And the data has not played out that those countries or those local jurisdictions have had reduced bicyclist injuries.
Really?
So there has not yet been a state that has mandated helmet use. You know, in California, anyone under the age of 18 is required to wear a helmet. But really, a lot of the data has shown when you get more people on bikes, the safer cycling becomes. So we've talked about that, you know, a lot more. But when cycling becomes kind of a norm and everyone is looking out for cyclists, that's when safety for bicycling really increases.
No, there's absolutely something to be said for that. As I mentioned before, same goes for pedestrians in areas where there is a lot of pedestrians walking, say, in New York City. And even in New York, pedestrians don't have the right-of-way. There are pedestrian vehicle accidents, but Not as many as you would expect for such an enormous population. I mean, it's the norm that there's going to be pedestrians in the roadway, and people watch out for them.
Yeah, certainly. So this is a really interesting bill, and there's definitely been a lot of discussion around it. And one of the other arguments is that by having a helmet mandate, you discourage more cycling, and that reduces the opportunity to get even more people on bikes on the road to really increase safety. So it'll be interesting to see how this, discussion continues, because I know locally we have a lot of efforts to get helmets more into the hands of people who need them. You know, we have free helmets at the community bike kitchen in Eureka, and Making Headway has free vouchers, for helmets. It'll be interesting to see how this one develops.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been law now for some time that motorcyclists have to wear helmets. I know that got a lot of protest when it went into effect, but it has definitely saved lives in the state.
Yeah, it certainly has. And that's where, from the public health standpoint, often, seatbelts, was one of the, most, successes in saving lives on the road, and probably also motorcyclist helmet mandates as well. So it's a really interesting, kind of debate.
Yeah. It's what always comes up is, it's personal freedom. I want my freedom. I want my freedom to be able to drive unsafely.
Yeah.
But the reality is that we're all one collective pool, and if we have to, as a community, deal with your injuries, we all suffer.
Definitely. So that'll be playing out a lot more this year. We'll have some updates on that. Another bill that is kind of being talked about moving through would be kind of diversion programs for bicyclists that have a moving violation that get caught for a moving violation mm-hmm. on the street. And they're looking into a way for kind of reducing fines for bicyclists, infractions, if they go to a bicycle traffic school class.
Interesting.
And so there's a lot of local jurisdictions that have already voiced support, and some of those are ones that really have some of the most, cycling kind of in their, really high percentage of cycling, and have a lot of existing bicycle education classes. But this is one that really could have some positive effects, because there are a lot of opportunities for bicycle education classes. But, even when we've had them locally, it's not something that hundreds of people sign up for. But it really can make a difference for being a safe user of the roadway. And, there's opportunities for motor vehicle kind of traffic school that you take online to reduce your fine. But something in person for bicyclists would really make a lot of sense for improving the safety of our roadways. So that's something that is moving forward too.
Fantastic! I think it's actually a great idea. That of course has been around for motor vehicles for many years, so it seems very appropriate for cyclists as well.
Yeah, definitely, and I think locally that could make a lot of sense. We've had a lot of discussion in Eureka about a lot of wrong way riding and just darting through traffic, and even kind of small interventions around, hey, how about you think about doing this instead of this, really can make a difference. So that'll be one I'll be interested to follow in the coming months.
Yeah, that'll be fantastic.
Yeah. And another thing that is really being talked about at the state level is electric bicycles. So,
what is that?
Well, just about 3 to 5 years ago, it was like, what? What is that? Well, electric bicycles are really more where you have a bike, but you can have a pedal assist electric motor that is giving you kind of even more boost. And so these used to be just kind of far out, or not that many people had them, but the market is really growing for electric bikes in the U.S. A lot is kind of as baby boomers are aging, and but people still want to be active, this is a way to like help get up hills that really still allows someone to travel on two wheels, but maybe you know helps get them there a little bit quicker. And you know, a lot of these used to be pretty clunky several years ago, but the technology has really increased to make you know these bikes. You know, sometimes if you see them in the local bike shop, you can just pass over it thinking, oh, it's just, you know, a larger cruiser bike. But really, they're becoming a lot more sleeker, and really, their price is reducing.
Wow, I've never even heard of them. That's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen bicycles that had, like, a motor that, you know, like a motor assist, but I've never seen an electric one.
Yeah, so they're pretty neat that you can just kind of... you know, go on a ride, come back, plug it in, charge it up. There's some that are just have a battery pack that is just like you can hold in the palm of your hand. It's so small, mm-hmm. but it has a lot of boost and has a lot of miles. I think it's definitely an emerging market, and people are also then talking about like, well, how do we regulate these electric bikes? Because they go a lot faster than a cyclist. So if a driver is going to be making a turn out of a road and sees a cyclist, they have in their head the speed that they know cyclists move. But when you have an electric kind of assist boost, you're moving a lot faster. So this one bill is looking at regulating kind of three classes of electric bikes because there's some that will just push you down the road without even pedaling. There's some that kind of are on demand pedal assist that you have to pedal all the time, but then you can like turn the throttle on and get a little bit more power.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at ways of regulating those, and especially for a level of you know of speed and where electric bikes can be. Like are some of these faster electric bicycles appropriate on busy multi-purpose trails? You know, I don't know. Are they, you know, like, are you going to be required to be in the bike lane? But you're passing a lot of, you know, cyclists that don't have a pedal assist.
Mm.
So there's a lot to think about, especially as the market really grows for electric bicycles.
I imagine a lot of the moped laws would probably go into effect with that.
Yeah, I think so, but it's definitely, it kind of crosses from a moped to, because sometimes you can just turn off the electric assist and be a bike. So
sure.
It really can fluctuate. So it'll be interesting to see how that comes out.
Yeah, well, the lawmakers have a lot to wrestle with there.
Yeah, well, and speaking of all of these, you know, all this legislation, there is a California Bicycle Advocacy Day is kind of coming up at the end of April, so April 26th through 28th, going to be a convening of a lot of bicycle advocates across the state in Sacramento, and they'll be talking with legislators about increasing funding for the active transportation program and a lot of these legislative items. And kind of on active transportation funding, we just talked about a lot of local jurisdictions and across the state will be going for this grant source. But there is, kind of the amount of funding for this program, which, again, is kind of all the funding for bicycle, pedestrian, and trail projects. It's kind of up in the air if that level of funding will continue. Governor Brown's proposed budget earlier, about a month ago, really reduced the current funding for the active transportation program. And so there was a large response from a lot of organizations across the state and kind of in just 2 weeks to get a lot of people on the same page of really looking to sign a petition and make a lot of efforts to the legislature and the governor about increasing funding for the active transportation program. Because really the amount of funding for the active transportation program is maybe about 1-2% of total transportation funding, when we know that rates of walking and biking are really increasing in California and across the nation, and the amount of funding is really the percentage of funding is a lot less than the percentage of trips in our state made by walking and biking.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of groups like California Walks and the California Bicycle Coalition, our Safe Routes to School National Partnership, and AARP, a lot of groups really got together to make a large statement that there is a huge outcry for more walkable and bikeable communities. And so we'll see where that goes in the coming months.
Good to see so many different organizations pulling together with that. It's really terrific.
Yeah, and it shows that there's really a lot of commonality in kind of what people want to see, and they really want to be able to have choices and options for how they, you know, how people want to travel.
You bet. Well, we are just about out of time. Any other things we need to touch on before we wrap?
No, just that coming up, well, it's not April yet. I was about to say next month is Bike Month. Well,
it's tomorrow.
Bike Month will be starting in May.
Right.
So in the coming weeks, we'll have a lot of updates.
Tomorrow you can say
that.
Next month.
Yeah, right. Well, it'll be April Fool's, so
right.
I don't know if anybody would believe me.
Good point.
But one thing is to mark your calendars for a regional trail summit on May 16th. It's a Saturday, and this will be the chance to have really an update about what is going on with trails, where are we on all the projects that we talk about here on Happy Trails and many other places. So the Humboldt Trails Council and the Humboldt County Association of Governments will be hosting that summit from 10 to noon on May 16th.
Fantastic.
And that'll be a great opportunity to really hear about all the progress and also to see all the ways to get involved.
Wonderful. Thank you much, Emily.
Yeah, thank you.
Of course. This conversation on Happy Trails, you will find podcasts shortly at iTunes and at khum.com. Just look for Happy Trails.
Happy Trails to you.